I'm Pierre Lumumba here at the Manzoni Wildlife Estate in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya, here in the continent of Africa. Our discussions on the continent of Africa continue in its different forms. And today we focus on the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. It is important to give context to AFCTA, as it's called in abbreviated form. In 1963, when the heads of state of the then free African states, the 32 of them, assembled in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, one of the things that was in the forefront was the need for enhanced trade. And when that did not happen, and there was the creation of a diluted OAU, the focus was on decolonization. And the tragedy of the situation is that the clarion call of Nkrumah at that time, "Seek ye first the political kingdom and the rest will come," namely the economic development, did not follow apace. And concerns were then raised because there were very many initiatives which were being undertaken between Africa and Europe, particularly the European Economic Community. We'll remember the Lomé Conventions of the 1970s, then the Cotonou Conventions. And all these were making Africa dependent, particularly on Europe, and with very minimal trade amongst African countries. The heads of states and governments sat again in Lagos in 1980 and came up with the Lagos Plan of Action. The Lagos Plan of Action said, we've got to enhance trade amongst African countries, which then stood conservatively at anything between 15 and 20% only. Africans were not trading amongst themselves. And this was a major concern. So let us trade among ourselves. Let us add value to things. Let us make sure that we don't import what we do not need. That was the raison d'être, or the reason for the Lagos Plan of Action. Once again, very little happened. And in 1991, in the Treaty of Abuja in Nigeria, it was restated that we ought to give meaning to what was stated in Addis in 1963, what was stated in Lagos in 1988, and what was stated must be given pride of place. Once again, nothing happened. And when Muammar al-Gaddafi invites the leaders in Sirte in 1999 as a precursor to the creation of the African Union, one of the major things that he's talking about, let us improve trade. Let us trade amongst ourselves. Let us have a single payment system. Let us have a currency. But this did not lead to very much. And we have the African Union being created in the year 2002, and nothing again happens until 2015. It is in 2015 that the issue is revisited during the chairmanship of Nkosazana and Dlamini Zuma, that we come up with Africa Agenda 2063. And the Africa Agenda 2063 is based on 7 pillars, which can be summarized that Africa must be competitive in the world, in the areas of trade, in the areas of culture, in the area of innovation, and in all critical areas. And in the year 2018, as one of the reasons for implementing Africa Agenda 2063, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area then comes into force. And the whole idea is that you want to create a continental free trade area that gives meaning and creates a single market. Africans often say we are 1.4 billion, but there are numerous tariff and non-tariff barriers. So what do? Number one, you eliminate tariff and non-tariff barriers. But how do you eliminate tariff and non-tariff barriers? Because they are regional economic communities. You have SADC with its own rules and regulations as concerns trade. You have IGAD with its own rules and regulation. You have AES in Central Africa. You have ECOWAS. You have the Maghreb. You have East African Community. You have COMESA. All these are multiple regional economic communities whose rules are not harmonized. When you talk about rules of origin of goods, how are we going to determine? When you talk about standardization of goods, how are we going to deal with all these? When we talk about payment systems, most of the African economies are still dollarized, and most of their trade is terminated either through the dollar or the euro or the pound sterling. How do we achieve all these? We achieve all these first by having rules and regulations which are harmonized. In other words, you start by dealing with harmonization of domestic laws. And that is the purpose for which, therefore, the Secretariat of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area is created and headquartered in Accra, Ghana, for that purpose, to ensure that if one wants to trade goods, one can do so without, and let us start with the barriers. The initial barriers are non-tariff barriers. And what are the non-tariff barriers? They are numerous. First of all, just borders. Crossing the borders, that is a barrier that is not tariff-based. In many African countries, one still needs to have visas. One still has to go through the immigration. You also have individuals who are acting as gatekeepers and asking for money. In a book that is titled Why Africa is Poor and What They Can Do About It, Greg Mills, the South African, says that boundaries exist, but beyond the boundaries, they are the gatekeepers who are asking for money. Corruption is a barrier in that regard. The other non-tariff barrier is simply issues of standardization. If you have a good which originates from Tanzania and it is getting into the Ugandan market, the Ugandan market will question it, notwithstanding that we are part of the same community and we should have a single standard on all these issues. These are tariff, non-tariff barriers. We also have non-tariff barriers such as created by conflict and free movement of peoples. So all those factors conjoined stand in the way of trade as contemplated under the African Continental Free Trade Area. Then there are tariff barriers. The tariff barriers will take different forms. Many countries have differentiations on the rules of origin. When is a good, a Ghanaian good, for purposes of its being traded within ECOWAS? When is Angolan good, an Angolan good, for the purpose of being traded within SADC? When is a Kenyan good, for the purpose of being traded within East Africa? When is a Tunisian good, for being traded within the Maghreb? These are issues that then brings into question what is called the rules of origin. And under the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, the idea is to say that there must be a minimum of 15% input. I've always posed the question, suppose I import completely knocked down goods from any part of the world and I assemble them in my country. Does that make that good a good of my country if I'm a Kenyan or a Ugandan? That question has not been answered as yet. And these are the things that are on the table for purposes of discussion. The third thing in this flow of thought is the multiplicity of regulations to which African countries are subject, the WTO rules. How do you deal with the WTO rules in the context of Africa Continental Free Trade Area? That is number one. Number two, how do you deal with bilateral relationship? Because African countries sometimes also enter into relationship with individual countries. We have seen that happening. Kenya and China, Kenya and the European Union, Kenya and the United States. How do you reconcile all these things in a manner that ensures that the environment of trade is not conflictual? How do you deal with the long-term arrangements? This, theoretically, is where the Africa Continental Free Trade Area comes in. And when we talk about Africa Continental Free Trade Area, in terms of its operationalization, we must ask ourselves what laws must be put in place. If you look at the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, in my view, scheme will only work if the following things happen. Number one, that there are clear protocols on initially harmonization of rules and regulations within the regions. Number two, that there is a clear understanding that bureaus of standardization will harmonize their standards across regions initially. Number three, that taxes such as VAT or value added tax must be harmonized, that customs tax and excise duty must be harmonized. Once that has happened, then you can begin to trade freely. The other thing that must happen is that movement of labor must also be allowed. In other words, we must have a borderless Africa, borderless in the sense that visa requirements which stand in the way of trade must be eliminated. And once that is done, then you facilitate and create an environment where people can move. The other thing that must be done is that we must have a harmonized payment system. I know for a fact now that the Afri-Exim Bank has introduced what is called an African payment system. But that is only operational, I don't think, in more than 20 countries. And the reality is that some countries are still resisting it because our economies are still too much tied to the dollar. It gladdens my heart that in the month of, March, the year 2026, a number of African countries have met and they have agreed that within the ECOWAS region, they are going to have a single currency called the ECO. And that is the second attempt at having a common currency. One hopes that that single currency is going to give impetus to other regional currencies. When all those factors are conjoined, Africa Continental Free Trade Area must be seen as one of the key drivers of Africa Agenda 2063. And remember, 2063 is the year during which Africa promises herself that she will be thriving. It is only 37 years away. And we will be asking ourselves, have we achieved, has Africa Continental Free Trade Area realized its declared goal? Let Africa free herself. Let Africans trade amongst themselves. That is the clarion call of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. Thank you very much. We continue with this conversation. We are talking trade because trade is the mother's milk of progress. We will see you again in a short while.